Greetings, podcast listeners. Welcome back. This is your host, Indra, with Aikido Talks. Greetings, extra greetings today. This week was Halloween, and today is November 2nd. Happy November 2nd. Today is All Souls Day, and it is also Celebration of the Dead, the Day of the Dead. So with that in mind, with this theme, I have the book by Sushila Blackman entitled Graceful Exits, How Great Beings Die, Death Stories of Hindu, Tibetan, Buddhist, and Zen Masters. So I'm going to look at, maybe two or three. They're very short excerpts. This book is a small book. And I have a paperback. We have about 160 pages. And it's quite insightful. We think about death. Sometimes people fear, but we're all, as human beings, are leaving at some point in our later lives and leaving this body. And those who are into the arts, you know that there's something else about spirit as well. Just as we celebrate births, I think we are also celebrating the lives of people who have passed on. And especially in the martial arts world, we're always carrying on what our teachers have given us. And for me in particular, there is Yoshimitsu Yamada Sensei Shihan, who has left his legacy to us to pass on. For us at the New York Aikikai and for all of us throughout the entire world. And Sugano Sensei, Seiichi Sugano Sensei Shihan, who has also left his legacy. And that, you know, the teachings that we have and the trainings are, they've become embedded in your blood with your practice. So this is very important why we should practice as often as you can, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Our lives are finite, and it brings beauty to our lives to be full, to be actively doing something that we can call our legacy ourselves and pass on. So without further ado, I'm going to just kind of skip through this book. I think this is also something to capture in our libraries. Let's see, what can I start with? Okay, so I'm on page 33, and let's read this part. Hakuin Ekaku, revered as one of the greatest teachers and artists in the history of Japanese Zen, lived in semi-retirement for the last 3 years of his life. In the winter of 1768, he was examined by a doctor who, as he felt Hakuin's pulse, remarked, "Everything seems all right." Hakuin grumbled back, "Some doctor, he can't see that in 3 days, I'll be gone." At dawn on December 11, Hakuin awoke from a peaceful sleep, let loose a terrific shout, rolled over on his right side, and died. After his cremation, Hakuin's ashes were said to be the lustrous color of coral and as fragrant as spice. His final piece of calligraphy was his life statement, a giant character for mist, or midst, M-I-D-S-T, with the inscription, "Meditation in the midst of action is a billion times superior to meditation in stillness." Our next reading. It is recorded that 3 months prior to the Buddha's death, the earth was afflicted by a mighty earthquake and a storm. His disciple Ananda inquired of him as to the meaning of these omens, whereupon he replied, "This earthquake portends that I have sacrificed the remaining years of my life. Reckoned from today, turn the page on hand. Reckoned from today, I will sustain my life for only 3 more months. 3 months later, as Buddha and his disciples came to a mango grove, they were approached by a householder called Chunda, who invited them to a meal. Buddha accepted, but later instructed his disciples that he alone was to eat of the food to be offered. After the meal, he became ill and insisted that they walk on to Kushinagar. There he bathed and then asked Ananda to make him a bed. "O Ananda," he said to his grief-stricken disciple, "the time has come for me to pass into peace. Go and tell the others about it, for they will be upset should they not witness my passing." When all had gathered, the Buddha gave them a final sermon. "It is not appropriate to grieve in an hour of joy. You all weep, but is there any cause for grief? We should look upon a sage as a person escaped from a burning mansion. It does not matter whether I am here or not. Salvation does not depend upon me, but upon practicing the Dharma. Just as a cure depends upon, not upon seeing the doctor, but upon taking his medicine. My time is come, my work is done. Everything eventually comes to an end, even if it should last for an eon. The time of parting is bound to one day come. I have done what I could for myself and others, and to remain longer would be without purpose. I have trained all whom I could train. My teachings shall last for many generations. So do not be disturbed. Recognize that all that lives is subject to the laws of impermanence, and strive for eternal wisdom. When the light of knowledge dispels ignorance, when the world is seen as without substance, the end of life is seen as peace and as a cure to a disease. Everything that exists is bound to perish. Be therefore mindful of your salvation. Be therefore mindful of your salvation. The time of my passing has come." With these words, the Buddha entered into a profound meditation and passed away. The earth shook like a ship in a storm, and thunder and lightning filled the heavens. And with this, we will be right back. And we are back. So all the readings I have are not Zen masters, but I will conclude this episode with 2 more readings. One with a Tibetan master, and the last with Zen master Shunryu Suzuki. According to the Dzogchen teachings of the Nyingma school of Tibetan Buddhism, advanced practitioners can end their lives in a remarkable way, causing their bodies to be reabsorbed back into the light essence of the elements that created them, a manner of passing that is called the rainbow body. In 1952, there was a famous instance of the rainbow body in the east of Tibet, witnessed by many people. The man who attained it, Sonam Namgyal, was a humble person and an itinerant stone carver of mantras and sacred texts. Some say he had been a hunter in his youth and had received teaching from a great master. No one really knew he was a practitioner. He was truly what is called a hidden yogin. Sometime before his death, he would go up into the mountains and just sit, silhouetted against the skyline, gazing up into space. He composed his own songs and chants and sang them instead of the traditional ones. No one had any idea what he was doing. He fell ill, but strange to say, became increasingly happy. When the illness got worse, his family called in masters and doctors. His son told him he should remember all the teachings he had heard, and he smiled and said, "I've forgotten them all, and anyway, there's nothing to remember. Everything is illusion, but I am confident that all is well." Just before his death at 79, he said, "All I ask is that when I die, don't move my body for a week." When he died, his family wrapped his body and invited lamas and monks to come and practice for him. They placed the body in a small room in the house, and they could not help noticing that though he had been a tall person, they had no trouble getting it in, as if he were becoming smaller. At the same time, an extraordinary display of rainbow-colored light was seen all around the house. When they looked into the room on the sixth day, they saw that the body was getting smaller and smaller. On the eighth day after his death, the morning on which the funeral had been arranged, the undertakers arrived to collect his body. When they undid his coverings, they found nothing inside but his nails and hair. We die and we do not die. Shunryu Suzuki. Zen Master Shunryu Suzuki called his students together as he lay dying of cancer and said, "If when I die, the moment I'm dying, if I suffer, that is all right, you know. That is suffering Buddha. No confusion in it. Maybe everyone will struggle because of the physical agony or spiritual agony too, but that is all right. That is not a problem. We should be grateful to have a limited body, like mine, like yours. If you had a limitless life, it would be a real problem for you." My dear friends, thanks again for listening to this special episode on the Day of the Dead, on All Souls Day, with graceful exits on how great beings die, death stories of Hindu, Tibetan, Buddhist, and Zen masters compiled and edited by Sushila Blackman. And this is in Shambhala Books. So I urge you to get it. And it's in the Eastern Philosophy section. With that, without further ado, looking forward to being with you the next time. Until then.